Sir, I know I'm a stranger, but I can't help but notice the rain is making you sneeze. And if you'd like to share my comically oversized umbrella, you can stand next to me.
The rain just stirs up all the stuff that's been on the ground and it goes directly into my nostrils. Once it all settles, I'll be fine. But thank you.
All right. Do you need me to call somebody? You're writhing around in the ground in a strange way.
This whole area was sprinkled with mustard gas during the war, and so it just kind of, the rain stirs it up. So I'll recover in just a second. Hold on. Okay, the mustard gas is triggering my asthma, but I'll be okay. Just hold on just a second. Yeah, actually, if you don't mind me sharing your umbrella, I would really appreciate that.
Okay, I'm gonna hold it over both of us. I do have to just warn you. I eat a lot of peanuts, and the umbrella's probably covered in peanut dust. Hopefully, that's not gonna be a thing.
And the beastly horde approached the castle gates as a ruinous multitude of malice. But the king was prepared. For the blue wizard had warned him. There will be danger, and there will be crossbows.
Hey, welcome to There Will Be Crossbows. My name is John.
John, you are so excited for this. I don't think anyone's energy right now is matching your energy.
Well, it's Friday night. It's April. Things are happening. It's spring is coming.
Don't get me wrong. With weather in the 70s and shots and arms, like there's a lot of reasons to be excited about the world right now. But all I'm saying is you look like a cheerleader. There will be crossbows. I'm just worried that, our listeners are notoriously grumpy. And if they feel like we're too cheerful or optimistic, they may go over to other shows.
Yeah, I would hate to lose them to another long distance podcast somewhere.
Yeah, try finding one. No, really, try finding one. We don't know if there's others, so it would be good to know. Thank you for doing that research for us.
I on purpose don't look.
Right? It would be pretty awesome, though, if we found a show that was doing the exact same thing as us. Wait, why would that be awesome? That would be terrible. You're right. We shouldn't look.
What if there are like John and James clones out there somewhere and they're doing the same show completely unaware that we exist?
Look, you've seen Highlander. It's the same logic with improvised podcasts. There can be only one and we must slay the competition.
Well, James, if that's the case, technically you're my competition also.
No, 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 no. We couldn't do this show just with one of us, could we? What would that look like? Okay, so here I want you to edit in some like little dream fantasy like ripple thing, and then just make a 3 to 5 minute hand animated video of you skipping through some fields of flowers, and then obviously delete this whole part where I'm telling you how to produce the show, okay?
James, that's a lot to ask at 4:30 on a Friday afternoon when we go live with this show in just 3 hours.
You're the one who chose to do this with a partner who wasn't available for most of the week until right before we, went live.
Which is why I think maybe I ought to destroy you. I don't want to, but I'm thinking it might be a good idea.
I know you're not big into this, but could we like take a step back and like talk about the theme and stuff, and then we'll like come back to a point where we talk about how we were going to destroy each other.
I think we've gone past that point, James. We had back at the beginning when you accused me of cheerleading, I was all happy about the theme being patio and we could be out on the patio, but no, now we're adversaries. You decided to frame podcasting as a zero-sum game, and every laugh you get is a laugh I don't get, so you gotta die.
This just goes back to last week, where all I try to do is give you helpful notes and suggestions as we're currently, you know, doing our art form, and then you get all in your head about it. All I'm like is maybe take your energy down a notch, and then you start going on about how you're gonna kill me, John. Do you see how this puts me on edge?
This is a note for you. All I'm asking you to do is cease your biological processes so that more of the laughs come my direction. That seems very simple.
If we get some clones in here, we get two Jameses and two Johns. Mathematically, it only gets double as funny. So maybe we're wrong to think the clones are the bad guys in the first place.
More clones.
The answer is always more clones.
It worked out in Star Wars Episode 2.
Yeah. Worked out to the tune of a 58% on Metacritic.
We should be so lucky. This is just the season for a wine tasting.
I would hope so. You and your friend here are at the finest winery in Napa Valley.
Really, here in Napa, every season is wine tasting season. There's only one season, and it's beautiful.
I'm Jeffrey, spelled with a G, your sommelier. I'm sorry, but you seem to be selling my own winery to me. I love wine. I don't need the hard sell on it.
My name is Kevin, also spelled with a G, and there's nothing I like better than vino.
So Kevin, spelled with a G, is it G-K-E-V-I-N? The G is silent?
It's K-E-V-G-I-N-R.
Great. I was just making sure. I have to sign your guest check by hand. We do things very old-fashioned here. If we can begin, I poured four of my finest vintages for you. And this is a very interactive tasting flight of wine. So basically, I'll explain to you the flavors that you should be picking up if you have a sophisticated palate.
My palate is the most sophisticated. By the way, you'll have to pardon my companion. She's mute.
Yes, I noticed. She's also been sleeping for several minutes. It seems like she is not as enthralled with the vino as you are, Kevin.
She just got here from an international flight, and she's quite jet-lagged, and also quite uninterested in wine.
Oh, bless her heart. I didn't realize she had been traveling.
Well, she has a wide range of medical problems. They've cropped up in the past couple of years. But that didn't stop her from traveling. Honestly, she had to travel because the doctor said she may not be capable of traveling 6 months from now.
I'm interested in meeting your friend, Kevin, but I don't know how to put this. You're a mansplainer, Kevin. You felt the need ever since you came to my winery to tell me about my wine. Tell me about your mute friend's condition when I'm sure that she's perfectly capable of explaining that herself.
Except that she's mute.
Yes, well, I think that you purposely have grown close to your mute friend because you like the excuse to be able to explain everything to everybody. And I'm sure that she allows you to do that. Isn't that right, Sleeping Beauty?
I should walk things back a little bit. My friend is mute. She can write. However, she only writes in Italian. So unless you understand Italian, I'm afraid you're out of luck, my friend Jeffrey.
I work at a vineyard in Napa. I understand Italian. You're drinking the Cavalleria Resicana Peccato. My finest Italian wine.
That's quite an expensive wine. You know, those grapes are grown only on the south side of a particular mountain just south of Palermo.
Oh, you don't say. I'd love to hear more about that. Wait, I'll just read the label that I wrote. See, this is what you're doing, Kevin. You're telling me about things that I already know. You have the compulsive need to explain things to other people. Let me explain one wine to you without you interrupting, without you telling me why I'm wrong in my chosen profession. Without you trying to, you know, patronize me or suggest that the way I'm describing things is reductive. Would you be up for that challenge?
Absolutely. I actually took the very same challenge from a lady doctor not 2 weeks ago. And let me tell you, I was successful. Although that's not the way she tells the story.
Hi guys, it's James here with an Amazon product review. This week, John sent me the Multi-Quip Honda GX240 engine concrete mixer with a 6-cubit-foot steel drum. This is a $3,700, 700-pound concrete mixer for, you guessed it, mixing concrete. Did you know concrete comes in bags? It's basically like a powder. So I got one of these from Home Depot, dumped it in, and then you slowly add water, and that's what makes into this sticky paste that then hardens when you spray it out. You probably knew this. I didn't know this because I just don't know anything about concrete. So I was actually pretty excited. I was already learning a lot about concrete from this machine. Pretty cool. Well, I had a little trouble when the concrete was, ready to lay because I hadn't bought any tools in which to get the concrete out of the mixer onto, I was going to make a little walkway in front of my porch. So I tried using my bare hands just to kind of scoop out some big wads of concrete to lay them down. Oof, do not do this. Instantly it dried, and I just had these big kind of round balls of concrete on both of my hands. It was very unpleasant, and it made me even less able to try to get the concrete out of the mixer. So I tried then with my giant concrete fist hands, rocking it so some of the concrete would spill out of the mixer onto the place where I wanted it. I don't know. I was pretty desperate at this point. Of course, the whole machine tipped over and spilled concrete all over my feet, therefore fixing me to the ground. Eventually, the concrete completely covered me, and I was just sitting there waiting to turn into a sidewalk. Now, I know what you're thinking. Okay, but he got out of this somehow. It's not like he died. Yeah, I did. I died. I got fixed on that concrete and I died. But luckily, thousands of years later, when aliens from the planet Xenogorgia were scavenging through a destroyed Earth, they found my body. And they were able to extract enough genetic material from my concrete encased body, is basically like finding somebody in the ruins of Pompeii, right? That they were able to create a perfect clone human version of myself, one with my own thoughts and memories. Then they sent him back in time to not stop Concrete James from doing the Concrete James thing, but to replace Concrete James once he killed himself with the concrete mixer. So that's right. It's been me, Clone James, doing this review the entire time. And I have my second COVID shot today. Thanks, science. 5 stars for science. 2 stars for the concrete mixer. The beer garden challenge begins now. When that server comes over here, I'm going to order 1 full stein of beer for every person at this table. And we're gonna drink them in the time that it takes her to leave the table to get more beer.
I was planning on doing that anyway, so.
No, but I wanna make it a game. I wanna gamify drinking beer in the beer garden by making it the beer garden challenge.
Let's do it. I am very excited about winning at something that I already do. I have an unhealthy relationship with alcohol, so drinking it fast is something I do all the time. Come on, Obadiah, just get drunk. You're way more fun when you're drunk. I've been told that before, which is one reason that I've developed an unhealthy relationship with alcohol.
Oh, thank God the server is here. What can I get you guys? 1 beer for me, 1 beer for each of them, 1 beer for her. Should she be drinking? She looks asleep.
She'll drink it fine. She's just Italian.
She does this. She always falls asleep in the first place. She's just been traveling a long way. She'll drink the beer. Otherwise, we'll drink the beer. It's okay.
I probably will be drinking the beer because of my unhealthy relationship with alcohol.
Look, guys, I want you to have a good time at the beer garden, but there are ground rules for safely serving customers. I can't serve somebody who is asleep or passed out. In fact, that's not actually allowed. You got to wake her up. Also, I cannot serve somebody who is bragging about alcoholism. It's just the laws, man.
That's what happens when you let politicians make the laws, man.
Sorry, guys. I'm serving you all ginger ale. Round of ginger ale all around. Okay. Peace.
This works out very well because my relationship with ginger ale is even more unhealthy than the one with alcohol.
Hello and welcome to another segment of Crossbow University, where you come to learn. I have to remind you today that if you find gum under any of the desks in our classrooms, we will add that to your tuition fees. Now we are here with a very special guest. I would like to introduce you to Egret Patio, the woman who invented the world's first patio. Egret, thank you for coming on to the show.
Thank you, James. It's lovely to be here.
It seems super basic now. You have a house, you want an area in the back of your house in which you can hang out outside, you pave it, you put some furniture there, you call it a patio. But for you, that was never an option. You came up with that. Talk me through how you invented the patio.
Early on, everyone was gathered inside, and I thought to myself, what if we have this area outside that's like inside, but it's outside? Take the inside and put it outside.
So before that point, nobody had ever thought, hey, what if next to my shelter, I had a place that was less sheltered?
It's not about shelter. A patio is not about shelter. It's about taking the good things about the inside and the good things about the outside and mixing them up.
Can you talk us through some of the mishaps you had leading up to the invention of the patio?
In the beginning, we put the patio too far away from the home. We put it too far away from the home, and predators kept taking the children. Oh, we lost so many children before we perfected the patio.
Oh, yikes. Yeah, that does not sound like anything anybody would want. I'm glad it led you at least to something worthwhile. Now, I understand, even though you're widely credited as the inventor of the patio, you did not end up making any money for it due to a weird copyright issue. Can you explain exactly what went down?
It turns out that someone previously had the idea of moving the inside outside. And it turns out that was the inventor of the drive-in movie. Phineas P. Drive-In got all of my patio money.
The world is just so cruel. I can't believe anybody would do that to you. Now that patios are just here to stay, what do you have your sights set on next? What would be the next thing you would like to invent if it's not revealing too many of your trade secrets?
I'm working on the exact opposite of my idea. Take the outside and move it inside. We're talking indoor ponds, waterfalls, greenery, all of the convenience of outside in an inside way.
Very cool. Hey, Grit, thanks for coming on. I don't have a patio, but next time I'm sitting on somebody else's, I'm gonna think of you. Not in a weird way, just, being grateful.
All right, all the kids go ahead and head over to the backyard. I'll be cooking the meats. The rest of you grab yourselves an Arnold Palmer and come on back. We'll shoot the shit while I'm cooking the meat.
Hey, I was just wondering, is there room on the grill for my swordfish?
That's a very fussy kind of fish for a neighborhood barbecue.
I know, but come on, guys. We always do burgers and hot dogs and brats. There's gotta be room on the grill for a full 4-foot swordfish grilled whole.
Marvin, did you take a swordfish out of the tank?
Sweetie, we have seven swordfish. Nobody needs that many swordfish as pets.
Please tell me that's not Stabby.
It's one of them. It could be Stabby. I can't tell the difference between all your fucking swordfish.
Stabby has been with me for 15 years.
Look, I'm sorry. I should have talked to you about your weird swordfish aquarium and how much it bothered me in a less passive-aggressive way than taking one of them out of the aquarium and bringing it to the neighborhood barbecue. What do you think, Ron? Do you think I'm in the wrong here? She has too many swordfish we can barely provide for our children.
You know what I say. Whenever you find yourself with too much of anything, throw it on the grill. See what happens.
Speaking of which, the kids have been really quiet.
It's that time again. Time for an Amazon product review. This week, James sent me something I'm really excited about. It's this. It is a great big lounge chair, a 1.8 meter outdoor rattan creative birdcage XL round sunshade leisure round lazy bed for clubhouse sea view room. Just rolls off the tongue. This is basically a great big outdoor lounge bed slash chair slash my new office. Everything that I do from now on is going to be inside this thing because it looks incredibly comfortable. Here are just a few things that people are saying about this chair. On sunny days, hang out with your lover by the pool or lie in a chair to read a book or drink coffee, entertain and relax. I love all those things. I love reading books. I love coffee. I love sunny days. I love lying down. I love having a lover. I love a pool. All of those are great. Suitable for terraces, swimming pools, lawns, gardens, decks, office naps, bedrooms, clubs, hotels, sea view rooms, balconies. Whether you are a child, an adult, or an elderly, you can spend leisure time on it. Office naps? Why didn't anybody tell me that was a thing? I could have been taking office naps all these years. If you take enough naps during the day, you don't have to sleep at night. That's always been my philosophy. Up all night, sleep lots during the day. I love this thing so much, I'm gonna get like six and put them all around my place, just so wherever I am, I can immediately lay down and take a nap. Should be no problem. Oh. $16,702.64. Just the one then. Gonna be paying on that for a long time. I don't know if naps are worth that. I pretty much take a lot of naps now and I don't have this. Who am I kidding? Naps are going to be totally worth it. 5 stars.
Oh, welcome to Burbs Discount Patio Furniture. I got what you need.
I need something that is not flammable.
Well, I mean, everything is flammable to a certain extent. I mean, all of our wooden patio furniture, it's gonna combust in a heavy rain. Has this been an issue for you in the past? Are you burning your furniture?
There was an incident and I lost some folks at a neighborhood barbecue. Everybody's relaxing, everybody's having a good time. I've got a guest from overseas passed out in the corner in one of my wicker loungers. A spark comes up from the grill. One tiny spark. And all of a sudden, my whole backyard is an inferno.
Jesus Christ, you're saying all those people died?
All of them died.
Holy shit. And you want to buy more patio furniture? That's what you're worried about? You're not worried about, you know, attending to the memorials of these people that you murdered?
I have a barbecue next weekend. What am I supposed to do? Have everyone stand?
Look, it's not my place, but it seems like it's going to be too soon. You just killed all those people.
When you fall off a horse, you get back on the horse.
All right, look, my better judgment is to try to talk you out of the barbecue, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that, so instead I'm going to talk you into the least flammable furniture that I have. Now, it's not necessarily made for patio furniture, because all patio furniture, by nature, will burn up in a hot second, but
I can't have that. No more fires.
Look, I got this safe over here. This safe is called the Uncombustor. Its only function is that in a fire, it will not burn. It's $7,000, but if you tip it over, two adults and one child could sit on it.
I'll take four.
Now, obviously, I don't have a patio table. It's not going to burn. They all burn if you cough on them. So what I'm suggesting is I have a pallet of fire extinguishers in the back that I have to distribute to all my various warehouses, but I'll sell you that whole pallet of fire extinguishers. Obviously they're not going to burn. The wood on the pallet and the plastic shrink wrap's going to burn off, but that's not going to hurt anybody.
You don't know.
We'll tell you what, I'll take off the shrink wrap. I'll take them off the pallet. We'll tie them up with cable wire, you know, some metal cable wire, which will not burn. And that could be your centerpiece, your table in which you can eat. And everybody sits on your four safes.
The following week.
Welcome to Burbs Discount. Do I know you?
I need all of my money back.
I forgot to tell you when you left. Those safes sometimes get coated in this dust, which, yeah, that dust itself is pretty flammable. Oh, God.
I noticed. Oh. This feels really weird. I haven't been to a restaurant in like over a year.
I know, but it should be safe. We're both vaccinated 4 times each, and we're each wearing 6 to 10 masks. So I think it's ready for a restaurant.
It feels weird though. I can't even remember how to act.
I know. I'm remembering there's the menus, right? They give you the menus. You pick things off the menus. They just bring it to you. Is that what it used to be?
That seems weird. How did that process even come about? Why would you have just somebody whose sole function is just to take food from one place to another?
I don't know. Everything before the pandemic is such a blur to me now. Like, is that really how we used to do it?
My water glass is empty, and all I can think about is how mad I am that I don't have water right now. When at home, I don't drink water at all at home, but I'm real mad that I don't have it right now.
Can I start you with some more water then? You folks need just a couple more minutes? Yeah, I mean, like, she's talking to us. Like, we're supposed to, like, respond, and, like, I just don't have those social skills anymore. I lost those social skills.
I have not talked to a stranger in so long.
Tell you what, I'm gonna check on a couple other tables I have, and I'll be right back. Is that all right? Yeah, she's like walking away. It's like, wow, weird.
I don't understand how to behave in this situation. I mean, in a normal situation, when someone walks away from me, I would take that as an affront.
Look, I mean, there's other people on the patio. Should we go over and just hug them? Because we weren't able to for so long. Are you supposed to just walk up and grope people now because nobody's worried about getting the virus?
All I've been doing for the past year is looking at people sideways because I'm suspicious of them. Like, why are you outside of your house?
Look, this is too much. I think we should just spend one cool down year in our bomb shelter.
My name is Kevin, also spelled with a G, and there's nothing I like better.
Pretend you're dead for a second. So this week, the theme is patio. Now, why is it patio and not a patio? Because we say we say ratio, and it's spelled the same, not radio, right? I'm in math class. I'm like, I need to figure out this radio. Oh, God, this is terrible, John. Why did I kill you? Why did I kill you? I need you for my humor. Oh, God, what have I done? I'm so sad.
Well, I think that was successful in that I did wish I was dead.